Well, good afternoon again, everybody, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night on Planet FM in Auckland. Recording this programme at about 1:30 on Wednesday afternoon here in my home in Takapuna, wearing a T-shirt and a pair of shorts, and the sun's shining outside. So hard to believe on the 29th of July that we're having such nice weather here. It's probably a bit warmer here than it is maybe in Ireland at the moment. But anyway, the programme is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and hope wherever you are tonight you can stay with us for the next hour or so. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland, and of course we'll update you on you know, everything that's been happening over there. Of course, the big announcement yesterday was that the schools would open at the end of August. But more about that and everything else over the next hour here. We'll start off with All Along the Atlantic Way. Aoife Scott there, and a song called The Wild Atlantic Way. And of course, she made a reference there, when we climbed Kirkpatrick. But of course, last Sunday was Rake Sunday, and of course, people were encouraged not to climb it. But despite that, a number of people did. But there was no masses celebrated. Bishop Neary celebrated masses in Westport, and it was a beautiful day. So a number of people did climb it last Sunday, but nothing like the crowds that climb it on the last Sunday of every year. 25,000 usually climbs it, and I'm lucky enough to have climbed it a few times on that last Sunday of July, and a great feeling to come down and go for a swim across the road and a beautiful beach. And obviously people are advised to not to travel this year, to stay at home, and many people are holidaying in the west of Ireland, indeed all over Ireland, even though the government announced 15 countries last week that people could travel to. They're encouraging people not to travel because obviously of COVID-19. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Now, today, Ireland announced 40 additional cases of COVID-19, but there was no further deaths. The total number of people that have died in Ireland is now at 1,764. 40 more cases announced today, bringing the total number of cases in Ireland to 25,929. So, Acting Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ronan Glynn said today's cases are spread across a range of different settings and age groups. 75% of the cases are under 45 years of age, with a median age of 33 years. At least half of the cases today were known close contacts of other confirmed cases. It remains vital that if a person is concerned that they've been in contact with the confirmed case or is experiencing symptoms associated with COVID-19, that they should isolate and come forward for testing without delay. A number of building sites in Dublin have had to close down because there was an outbreak of COVID-19. And obviously the government announced on Monday nearly a €400 million package to get the schools opened again at the end of August. But there's still a lot of uncertainty about this. I heard a leading specialist in diseases from the Mater Hospital talking on Morning Ireland this morning, and in fact it was drive time this evening when I was out for my early morning walk, and he's basically saying that he's not sure whether it's a wise move to open the schools unless everything is in place to make sure that there's social distancing, and because if he thinks that the virus comes back and starts spreading, we could be like what's happening in other countries, including Australia. And he has witnessed firsthand himself people in Dublin not following the guidelines, people too close to each other in pubs that are open, that are serving food, and people doing other things. So he was very, very worried about the rush to get the schools open. But the government do want to have the schools opened, and they're encouraging people not to go away on holidays over the next few weeks so that they don't come back. And obviously Spain today, 950 new cases. So, they're heading to possibly, another lockdown before too long. Right, Donna Taggart, and Jealous of the Angels.
Longing for the day when I see your face again.
Donna Taggart there, a lovely song called Jealous of the Angels, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night in Auckland, Saturday night in Christchurch, Sunday in Wellington. Greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and around the world. Well, I'm broadcasting this at about 1:45 on Wednesday afternoon, and a message just popped up here to say that All Black great Andy Hayden has passed away. I know Andy had been sick for a while and still very, very young. And I had a few dealings with Andy down through the years. We came up with an idea once that we were going to try to replay the Munster All Blacks match that took place in 1978. But we had a few meetings about it. It never actually got off the ground. But Andy was probably ahead of his time as regards professional rugby. And I know that he certainly was a well-loved and liked figure here in Auckland rugby circles too. Andy's family, we offer our sympathy and may he rest in peace. And at 69, very young to be dying. Well, as I said, looking through the homepage here of the Irish RTE news page, like, there's so much stuff about COVID, but we'll avoid that. But we'll go with good news here that Irish author Colin McCann, he's been shortlisted for the Booker Prize, and I heard him being interviewed on RT Radio this morning, and he just said it was a tremendous honour. He's obviously one of, I think, about 15 or 20 people that are shortlisted to win this year's 2020 Booker Prize. Originally from Dublin, he's now living in New York, and he's later, book, I hope I can pronounce it right, is Apeiron, Apeirogon, is described by the judges as a gripping novel about two bereaved parents and a moving reflection on what it might mean to make the peace between two warring families. And one of these parents, both these parents lost a child in the war between Israel and Palestine, and they both became friends, and that's what the book is about. And other bit of good news as well, that Normal People, that series which was on here on TVNZ, but it certainly got a lot of publicity in Ireland, it was on during lockdown, it's been nominated for a number of BAFTA awards. And I heard the producer of it on radio this morning as well. He was just delighted with the success that it's going to obviously end up, you know, maybe if they get a few awards, but at least to have nominations for about six different categories is unbelievable. What else is happening? Of course, the Galway races got off to a start on Monday evening, and today would be the big day, the Galway Plate Day. But Ted Walsh, in no uncertain terms, told people they're missing nothing. He said, stay at home. Well, you can come anyways, even though people are heading to Galway City and the hotels are 70% full. But he said, there's no atmosphere. It's basically like a business event. Not even the owners, I think, are allowed to turn up. It's just the trainers, the jockeys, and a few other people to run the race meeting. Of course, the event was worth in the region of 70 million to the Galway area. when people came for that week. And finally, before we take the next bit of music, four statues have been removed from outside the Shelburne Hotel due to slavery links. Four statues which have stood in front of the Shelburne Hotel for 153 years have been removed. Now, I passed by that hotel many a time walking from Ball's Bridge to College Green and never took any notice. And the statues are obviously connections with the slave trade back in 1867. They were erected in the hotel, outside the hotel in 1867. And so they were associated with slavery, so people said it was probably not a good place to have them. Right, we're off again. And we'll go with Eleanor Shanley and Raglan Road, where I used to live.
And her long dark hair.
Yes, that's Eleanor Shanley there and her version of the song written by Patrick Kavanagh but made famous by the late Luke Kelly, Raglan Road. Indeed, many other great Irish singers have recorded that. I think Damien Dimsey did a version of it as well. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Now, Rocket Man, my neighbour here down the road, Brian, is what do you call it... what do you call a great Liverpool man? I'm sure he's still excited after Liverpool winning the rugby or the English Premiership there a few weeks ago, and he's organising the Rocket Man Night, a New Zealand tribute to Elton John at the Takapuna Football Club on Saturday week, the 8th of August. Doors in the bar open at 6:30, and the show starts at 8. Brian Giblin, and you can contact Brian to book tickets, b.giblin, G-I-B-L-I-N, at extra.co.nz. And or you could look it up there at the Takapuna Football Club. But I know Brian has done the Beatles nights, but he's moved on now to Elton John on Saturday week, the 8th of August. All right, you're listening to Ireland Calling. We move to the sports sections of the paper and see where, obviously, footballers are back. Intercounty football has started only with 200 people. People can't tog out in the changing rooms. You have to come togged out or do what we did when we were growing up, tog out under a tree. But no changing rooms to be used and only 200 people allowed at the games, which many people are saying is ridiculous. I know the Cavan senior football manager said it was a joke last week when you had the likes of Breffni Park could hold about 25,000 and they only let 200 in. He reckons that you could have at least 500. And there's been scenes of people at the weekend with lathers and cherry pickers looking in to watch football. But I see former Mayo player David Brady, he's come out and he said some teams might have to pull out of the Intercounty Championship before the end of the season. Of course, the clubs will get all their games played between now and October. And the Intercounty Championship was going to start with a full knockout for the football, but with a bit of a backdoor for the Hurling Championship with the finals to take place in mid-December. But he thinks that if a player ends up at a high temperature and has to pull out the rest of the team, there could be a possibility of that team or a few more people being infected with COVID. The team will have to pull out and thus obviously forfeit their chance of winning the coveted All-Ireland title. There was some email or some story went around last week. Something happened anyways the last year, 1951, when Mayo won the All-Ireland final. Maybe it was the fact that there was no minister for Mayo. But that was rectified a few weeks later after Derek Leary was appointed after Barry Cowan was forced to stand down. In fact, he was sacked by the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. So maybe it's the year that Mayo might win. But then again, if Mayo win and they don't play a proper championship, some teams have to pull out. Imagine, I suppose a lot of people would be hoping the Dublin team might get COVID and they're pulled out. They have to be removed from the championship. It'll be a tainted All-Ireland final. But anyway, we just have to wait and see. Yes, speaking of Micheál Martin, all the TDs and or ministers were awarded a 10% or a pay rise last week, but there was such uproar against it that they reduced their pay. They've taken a pay cut of about 10%, but I see Taoiseach Micheál Martin is still getting paid more than former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar was. There seems to be a bit of tension there between the various parties. Obviously, Leo Varadkar took a lot of stick where he made an apology to Ruth Morrissey's family after she died. She was one of the people that took on the government over the cervical scandal. And but I see her husband and some of her close friends said you know, Varadkar would have been better if he said nothing. He should have apologised when he was Taoiseach. And her husband, Paul, said no matter who apologises in the government now, it's too late for her. And there's many more women that are suffering the same fate that she is and battling for their lives as a result of, obviously, malpractice with the company that was doing the scans for these over 220 women. Right, we'll see what we've got here. We'll go with Dolores Keane, Never Be the Sun. Yes, the wonderful voice, Dolores Keane from Carlistrane in the County Galway, singing Never Be the Sun. And the sun is shining here on a Wednesday afternoon in Auckland. Certainly, weather is quite good. Not so great weather in Ireland at the moment. And as I said, the big festival, that was normally the big festival, the Galway Races, is on this week. But obviously, no crowds there, which takes away from the whole atmosphere. Yeah, I'm just looking here. Paul Mescal, he was among the four people from Normal People, the TV documentary or TV series for Emmy nominations. This is the young man that was going around wearing GA shorts from Maynooth, County Kildare. So a great a great achievement for him, and I've no doubt since that series he's making a lot of getting a lot of publicity. Now, last week it was announced there was some winner in Ireland won 50 million in the Euro lottery, but I don't seem to see any publicity over the last week as to where that who that won, so they might be gone below ground, which is a good place to do when you get, I think it was an online person, they paid €2.50 for a line, one line in the Euro lotteries, and they won 49.9 million or something, an awful lot of money. And super junior ministers hand back the 16,000 top up to the state, but they still will get a 10k allowance each. Obviously uproar that in these challenging times, some of these junior ministers. And the other issue is the amount of special advisors that these government ministers are employing. I think Ryan, who survived just marginally leadership of the Green Party last week, he's got six special advisors. And I think there was only a couple of hundred votes between him and Catherine Martin to take over the leadership of the party. But a lot of new people, obviously advisors, being brought in to give advice to the government. And, of course, the former Taoiseach, Simon Coveney, he's kept his state car because he's the Minister for Defence. He might have to travel up and down, as well as Foreign Affairs, to Northern Ireland. Former Taoiseach, who is now the Taoiseach, he's kept his aide-de-camp. And obviously, this is something, there's only two aide-de-camps, one for the President, one for the Taoiseach, but special conditions, and have been allowed to Leo Varadkar to have an aide-de-camp to represent him at events he cannot attend. So one headline here in the Irish Independent says today, month of mayhem, from ministerial snubs to pay rises and to Barry Cowan. It's been really 4 weeks from hell for the new government, but they seem to have settled in a bit over the last week. There hasn't been any scandals, but I know Barry Cowan wasn't very happy to have been sacked by the Taoiseach last week. Right, we'll move on and play some more music, and when we come back we'll have a look at the farming section of the paper. Now, I was reading this morning, and there's a sheep that sold for about 4,000 guineas. We'll have to tell you about it, but you would only need a few of them if you had these, if you were rearing these type of sheep. Right, let's go with what do we got here? I'm looking here, all my singers that I've lined up tonight, they're all female, but anyway, we'll go with Mary Blackwell, we song for Ireland. No, we'll go with Sinead Lohan, Sailing By. Sailing by, and we're sailing by. We're into the 38th minute of the programme. You're listening to Ireland Calling, which is the brought to you each week here with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and wherever you're listening around the country, today, tonight, or any night during the week, hope you've enjoyed the programme. Yes, I was reading the farming section of the paper yesterday, and we need to be rearing or breeding these kind of sheep. A top price of 4,900 guineas was paid for a Valais, V-A-L-A-I-S, black nose ewe and lamb at a special auction on Richard Beattie's farm in Oma on Saturday. Dubbed the world's cutest sheep, the breed originated from Switzerland and over 70 were sold at the Beattie livestock sale. The average price paid on the day for the ewe and lambs was 3,500 guineas. So 70 times that, that's not a bad day's takings. They were fantastic. There was fantastic interest in the sale, said Selina. And they're a beautiful and unique sheep. They're imported from Switzerland and aren't being exported at the minute. The sheep are sold for breeding and as pets. People take them for a walk instead of a dog, and they're great with children. Their wool is also very valuable and is much sought after. They would never be sold for their meat. And we had people from all over Ireland, the UK, at the sale. So in a time when farmers are getting very little for their wool, this was obviously a breed that if you had a few of them and selling 17 at an average price at 3,500, that's a pretty good return. Anyway, the front section of yesterday's Farming Independent has a nice picture of two men in the middle of a field of barley ready to roll, getting ready to start harvesting winter barley at Ballinacurta, Belgooley, County Cork, was farmer and contractor Andre O'Mahony and Alan Coleman. And beautiful blue sky in the background. And obviously, they need some fine weather now to start bringing in the crops. What else is being COVID-19 could have cost NPA 4 million losses if stuck now. The company behind the National Ploughing Association of Ireland would have been staring at losses of 3.5 to 4 million this year. If COVID Ireland had only struck now. Of course, this was cancelled early on in the year, and Anna Mamie Q hopes it will take place next year. Next year, tillage farmers face losses of €250 an acre on winter barley. What else is happening here? Hill farmers and activists clash over commonage caused by the Irish Wildlife Trust for the removal of livestock from commonages in the Neffin Mountain Range and Owen Duff areas of Mayo have sparked a furious row between environmentalists and farmers. That nice story about that, and there's a lovely picture of Susanna Aiken and Kerry Hamilton with this ewe and lamb. They're lovely looking sheep. What else is happening there? Of course, normally this time of the year there'd be people at different shows, but no shows on at the moment. The budget is agreed, but the real common agricultural policy battles for Irish farming is just beginning, and Agriculture Minister Dara Cleary and his officials will be making many of the key decisions on how the $10.7 billion of common agricultural policy allocation is divided amongst Irish farmers. And protests last year, and they continued again against the price that the factories are paying for beef cattle, certainly obviously still continuing. And the factory still seem to have the upper hand. Meat factory agents may have infiltrated the beef plan movement, according to one of the founders there, Eamon Corley. And Faith and Pods delivering the goods in County Clare. Businesswoman Joanne Russell left the long hours of retail behind her to focus on building up a tourism enterprise with her husband on the family farm Doonbeg. And they're like little, like the backs of the old gypsy caravans, but there's no wheels on it. They're like pods. And they certainly seem to be, you know, like a little small mobile home that they have down there in County Clare. Right, we'll move on and take another piece of music. And this time we have found a few, what do you call it, male singers. So we'll go this time, the Dubliners and the Black Velvet Band.
In a neat little town they call Belfast, apprentice to trade I was bound, and the many an hour sweet happiness have I spent in that neat little town. A sad misfortune came over me, which caused me to stray from the land, far away from me friends and relations, betrayed by the Black Velvet Band. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land, and her hair it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a Black Velvet Band. I took a stroll down Broadway, meaning not long for to stay, when who shall I be but this pretty fair maid, and the train sing along the highway. She was both fair and handsome, her neck it was just like a swan, and her hair it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of fair maid, and the gentleman passing us by. Well, I knew she meant the doing of him by the look in her roguish black eye. A gold one she took from his pocket and placed it right into my hand. And the very first thing that I said was, bad cess to the Black Velvet Band.
Black Velvet Band, and the first time I heard that being sung was in the late 60s. We had a man, a bricklayer called Pat Lohan, building. We were building a new house at home, and I remember him singing that song. He used to be singing it every day. So if there's any connections to Pat Lohan, listen, I'm sure you'll back that up, that song, The Black Velvet Band, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group here in broadcasting in Auckland from my home on a Wednesday afternoon. You're hearing it in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Saturday night, Christchurch, and Sunday afternoon in Kapiti Coast and Sunday evening in Wellington. I hope you're enjoying the programme. And we'll bring you up to date with all the news. Yes, very worrying times all around still with COVID. Just seeing the figures there for Melbourne have just come out a few minutes ago. 295 new cases in Victoria today. At least it's dropping a bit, but certainly unless there's big improvement, the lockdown could last longer than 6 weeks. And I know we're lucky here in New Zealand, although I see the government have announced today there will be a charge of around $3,000 for people coming back and staying in isolation. I think that's is it $3,000 for the 2 weeks, but obviously some people are not happy that there'll be a charge, but it's cost nearly $1 billion to house everybody that's coming back. And I know it's tough, but you know, there's only so much money. The government is probably borrowing more and more money to pay for the COVID payments, but also pay for people. And in certain circumstances, I see that they'll make exceptions to the rule. And but not the same strict routine in Ireland. I was reading the paper yesterday that something like that about 15,000 people have returned to Ireland in the last 2 weeks. And of course, the lockdown or the isolation isn't anything like it is here in New Zealand. People are asked to self-isolate. Now, they have more stringent methods to check people in place than they had a few weeks ago. But there's still people able to come across the border from Northern Ireland, come into Northern Ireland and be able to travel freely in the Republic. And obviously, there's a big issue with anybody that has been to Spain. The British government announcing a two-week isolation period for people when they come back, and the same in Ireland. But there's certainly people that are still want to go on holidays. Hasn't been a great summer in Ireland, and some people will try to go away, especially people that have their own holiday homes in Spain and Portugal. The opportunity for them to go is probably an attraction that they want to you know, go and have a week's holiday, but they're putting the rest of the people in grave danger if they come back and start spreading the COVID-19. Righto, Daniel O'Donnell, welcome to my world.
Waiting just into my world.
Daniel O'Donnell there, and welcome to my world. And of course, Daniel, like all other artists, they're basically all grounded at the moment because of the COVID-19. I was listening to Des Cahill interviewing a well-known Irish opera star this morning, and she had so many special events lined up this year, including Carnegie Hall in New York, that all had to be cancelled. But she's looking on the bright side of it. She just had a baby in May last year, and she's got to spend some quality time with her new baby and husband, and hoping that she'll be able to get back on the road again next year and sing. And certainly there'll be lots of people hoping that this COVID goes away and, you know, we find a vaccine for it. But in the meantime, you know, we just have to follow all the precautions and do everything right here. See my good friend Heather Humphreys in the front of the Irish Times today. She's now the Minister for Social Protection. She told the Doyle that more than 2,500 pandemic unemployment claims had been closed as a result of checks carried out at ports and airports. Ministers have been warned that it will be crucial to reduce the number of people in receipt of pandemic welfare payments, to keep the economic deficit at manageable levels amid concern about the rising cost of this crisis. Briefing papers compiled by officials in the Department of Social Protection from Minister Humphreys revealed that the department plans to review 700,000 welfare claims through inspections and reviews by the end of this year in an effort to save up to 520 million. I know that the government at the start of the lockdown, you know, they gave, like they did here, gave people, obviously, I think it was about 350 euro a week. But I think from talking to a few people, even if you were only earning about 100 euro in a part-time job, you got the full payment. So I think there was obviously a lot of people that benefited from getting more money, especially students that were in part-time jobs than they were entitled to. But like New Zealand, Ireland is borrowing a lot of money. They announced a 7 billion euro stimulus package for the government last Thursday. And obviously, you know, they want to keep people employed. But sad news for a company in County Kerry this morning in Tralee. I see where a company has announced it's going to close down at the end of the year with a number of 200 jobs going. The name of the company here, it's a manufacturing plant, work at Borg Warner, B-O-R-G Warner, being briefed at meetings this afternoon. Manufacturing will cease there by the end of the year. The plant will be shut down. It's a new modern-looking plant here, and the company employs 210 people and has been in Tralee for over 30 years. So that's a huge number of people to lose their jobs in a place in rural Ireland, the west of Ireland. Tralee, obviously famous for the Rose of Tralee Festival, which won't be taking place, obviously, this year. And But certainly the government will be hoping that they can encourage more foreign investment into Ireland and get more people to come in and set up industries in Ireland. I think there's about 270,000 people working with companies that are, you know, set up in Ireland. They're all non-Irish companies, mainly from the US. Many of these companies involved in the IT and in the pharmaceutical business. So 210 jobs to go in County Kerry will be a huge blow to the people there. Ivan, yes, he stepped down the other day. Ivan was one of the youngest ministers in a Fine Gael Labour coalition government in late 70s, early 80s. And obviously then left politics after a very young age and got involved in bookmaking and had a huge number of betting shops around Ireland, Celtic bookmakers. But pre the global financial crisis, he tried to sell them and the sale fell through. And he hit rock bottom with the obviously business going into liquidation because of personal guarantees he gave. He was forced to bankrupt himself and move to Wales for a while. But he came back. He still managed to keep his ministerial pension during all this time, but lived for a year in Wales and came back and had a a very good career with News Talk, but he announced the other day that he's stepping down. He's had enough. His programme was very popular. He had over 100,000 people listening to his drive time show, but he's going off to do something different and enjoy life with his wife and his family. Right, well, that's about it for another week. I hope you've enjoyed the programme, and brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and you'll be back again next week to listen to the next edition, the first week. Next week we'll be into the 1st of August, hard to believe, 7 months of the year gone. Right, we leave you tonight with Sean O'Shea, Beautiful City. All the people from the park.
Like the green hills of